A new preschool program in Klukwan hits its stride after a bumpy first few months. And the gap between breakwaters in the Haines Small Boat Harbor expansion plan causes a delay. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. There's a 20-foot gap between the current breakwater and proposed wave barrier in the Portage Cove Small Boat Harbor. That relatively small planned space is now turning into a big problem. The Army Corps of Engineers says the gap won't fly, but the solution could be very costly. KHNS's Jillian Rogers reports.
The Army Corps wants that gap between the wave barriers closed before they'll issue the required 408 permit. The Corps says that 20-foot space has the potential to funnel waves in, which could potentially disrupt the rubble mound. Harbormaster Sean Bell said last week P&D engineers did a study on the potential for waves blasting through the gap. Engineers predicted that in a scenario with an extreme high tide and an above-average storm, a 1-foot wave could wash inside the harbor. In the case of an extreme high tide and a 50-year storm, P&D expected a 2-foot wave inside the harbor. Bell says both of those scenarios meet design criteria, but the Corps has other ideas.
The Army Corps is wanting to have that gap closed. They're worried about the waves funneling in there and increase velocity and dislodging some of the rocks.
Bell says there are two potential fixes: close the gap with a sheet barrier or extend the rubble mound, but both would require extensive and expensive excavation and more.
P&D is looking at a couple different options for how they can economically close the gap.
Interim borough manager Brad Ryan says the space is necessary because of the slope of the existing rubble mound. This gap conundrum is holding up the progress of the Corps-required 408 permit. The 408 permit is needed when a planned project ties into an existing Corps project, in this case, the rubble mound. He says the borough knew about the gap and were informed by the engineers that only on rare storm occasions would the waves inside the harbor reach up to 2 feet.
So you have this gap that's there that's not closed out because you start thinking about cantilevering, you know, metal sheets, or you shove more piling in there, or you start stacking larger rubble. And one of the problems with the rubble has been the question of the stability of the bottom, you know, the clay layer. And so nobody wanted to do that without doing a bunch of wick drains, which increases the cost. It's not a problem as much with the engineering as it is the cost increase.
Wick drains, or prefabricated vertical drains, are used to create more stability in soft soils like the clay at the bottom of the harbor. But for now, the borough is waiting on the Army Corps recommendations. Ryan says there's not much they can do until then.
The issue is the recommendations of the Corps come back with, if P&D agrees, and then what is the additional cost? And that's the real question that we're waiting on. We actually talked to the Corps this morning, and they're still waiting on their engineer to review it and make recommendations. So we don't know if it's a big deal yet or not. We hope it's not, but that's the $1.5 million question.
The fix could cost $1 million, or it could cost $5 million, or it could cost more. He says the cost of the fix will have to come out of the money already allotted for the project, and that's about $20 million. So something else in the plan will have to give. Ryan says some of the early numbers offered may hurt the project a little, but they're not a, quote, sinker.
Well, I mean, I suppose at some price point it's a deal breaker, and that'll have to come back, you know, to the Ports and Harbor Commission and us, and we'll have to decide if it's worth pursuing. If it came back and it was $10 million more, then it'd be the same price as a rubble mound, and maybe we would do that instead, but we don't have that kind of money in our coffers regardless.
Ryan says the new development is concerning. It comes after the proclamation of good news earlier this month that the project was moving forward through the permitting process.
In a lot of ways, it's moving forward fast, much faster than I'd anticipated. It does come on the heels of some good news, but there's always a catch here and there.
Port and Harbor Advisory Committee member Terry Pardee shared his frustration at a meeting last week about the new glitch. He says with commercial fishing vessels getting bigger and plans for the harbor getting smaller, the facility won't be very useful for future generations.
It almost seems to me like somebody doesn't want to see this thing happen at all, and I'd dearly love to find out who that is.
Ryan says the borough hopes to hear more details from the Corps in P&D this week and come up with a viable solution to the gap. Reporting in Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
After a rocky first few months, the new preschool program at Klukwan School is running well. 6, 3, and 4-year-olds attend the Tuesday through Thursday program to play and learn with teacher Jeannie Kitayama. Klukwan School hopes the state grant-funded preschool continues in years to come because it could help keep enrollment up at the small school.
What big screen? Blue and
red. I'm red.
Kitayama is teaching her students about colors today. She puts a few drops of blue and yellow food coloring in a sandwich bag of white rice and zips it closed.
Like that?
Mm-hmm. I'm green.
Then the children get to squish the bag so the colors blend and the rice turns green.
And the kids are all happy, and the only time they cry is when they have to go home. There are several of them that want to stay in school all day.
Kathy Carl is the lead teacher at Klukwan School. She says it was challenging to get the preschool off the ground at the beginning of the school year.
Because of staffing issues and finding housing for staffing. And so then they had the Christmas break, and that caused some issues. But now it is here and it is together and it is good to go.
After a few months of sporadic staffing, Kitayama was hired in January to teach the preschool for the remainder of the year.
They're very playful and fun. I find myself smiling a lot with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think kids are so full of innocence and they live in the moment, and I always feel like we have a lot to learn from them.
26 Mile resident Nicholas Zhukovsky enrolled his 4-year-old Zoja in the preschool about 2 weeks ago.
He's loving it. It's great, yeah. So, and you know, living in this part of the valley, in the upper valley, it's really, I probably wouldn't drive all the way into town. It's just not that practical to do that, go and drop them off, go and pick them up again or whatever. So it just, you know, it doesn't work that well, spending 2 hours a day on the road. So having something in this part of the valley is great.
While the preschool is happening Tuesday through Thursday, Klukwan School's one kindergartner and one first grader join in. Zhukovsky says he likes the mix of ages. As he explains why, first grader Aiden chimes in.
I like that there's a little bit of a range of ages. So there's, you know, some of the kids are a little, like he's on the younger end of it, you know.
Ages,
well, there's a couple. You're a little bit older, and Jack's 1 year older. So it helps out a lot, I think, in the class.
Yeah, because it's all different instead of all the same.
Right.
Kitayama agrees.
That's the beauty of multi-age, is mixing up grades to meet everyone's needs.
The preschool program is funded by a grant of up to $30,000 from the Alaska Department of Education. It was obtained by the Chatham School District, which includes Klukwan, Angoon, Gustavus, and Tenneke schools. Chatham Superintendent Bernie Grieve says he wants to keep the program going, whether or not they get the state grant next year. He says the preschool could funnel in more students to Klukwan School and keep enrollment strong. Kitayama says the reason she teaches preschool is the importance of early childhood education.
And I remember Father Oleska saying this, that, you know, we have all these standards, they're good things and all that, but we have to remember to teach children to be good human beings. Mm-hmm. And I think they can get a lot of that in the younger ages, and it will stick with them.
After the colored rice craft and spilling a good deal of it on the floor, preschool ends with circle time. The children take turns saying what makes them feel happy.
I feel happy when people do what they promise they will do.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.